Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe, joining as usual, and only Cole.
It's just me this week. Sorry, it's boring.
It is. No, I like it. No Jacob, no Aki.
This is how we get the short shows, though. Like, yeah. This is how we speed run this shit.
Yeah. And there isn't even that much news this week. Like, the big news was that game summer kickoff show that I have bullet points for. And then aside from that, it's like three other things.
Next week's going to be a nightmare, though.
Oh, yeah. Tuesday and Thursday are going to be fucking disasters. Tuesday, if you are a fan of our Twitch streams, make sure to tune in Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern time instead of 9 p.m. We are going to be going live an hour early to go through all of the E3 kerfuffle, Microsoft, Bethesda, Square, Nintendo. We'll cover everything. And we'll probably spend a long time doing it.
The Discords I'm on are just so full of speculation right now. It's giving me anxiety. Like, oh, this has been acquired. That might be acquired. This is, and I'm just like, I need y'all to shut up.
There's people saying like Microsoft's going to announce 5 new studio acquisitions. I'm like, come the fuck on, really? Maybe if they bought Sega and that includes all of their studios, maybe.
Yeah, 5 is definitely an exaggeration. I think that was Colt Eastwood on Twitter who was doing that 5 shit. 3 seems to be the running average. 1 is a guarantee. And I can say 1 is a guarantee because at this point, if there had not been an accusation, Aaron Greenberg's ass would have been on Twitter like, tamper y'all's expectations. And he ain't been because he's letting that hype roll. So that in and of itself means there's been at least 1. Now, who is all over the place? Like, I've heard IO, I've heard Rocksteady, I've heard NetherRealm. I think people are just grasping at straws with a studio name.
I like the people who are like, Square Enix.
That shit, like, at this point, you might as well say they bought Sony, because that's how good your guess is. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say I wouldn't like for them to buy up NetherRealm. That'd be cool.
Would you keep Mortal Kombat multi-platform?
Well, because I tend to be on the side of, like, exclusivity is bad anyway, so yeah, probably. But I just think everybody should get to play, even if they are on the inferior console. Take that as you may.
Oh, jeez.
But I don't know. NetherRealm seems like a stretch, and I'm not really.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm
see
not
that
putting any
happening.
Eggs in that basket. Even though Warner Brothers was up for sale not too long ago, I'm just not putting my eggs in that basket. However, I will continue to root for Bloober Team. Even though they have said they want to stay independent for now, I'm still rooting for them.
Well, Bloober Team, the big news with them is that the Medium is apparently rated for PS5, so that's going to be jumping over to PS5, presumably later this summer, I would imagine.
Yeah. Again, I'm all for multiplat. Play wherever you want, even if it is inferior.
Where? The Series S?
The Series S surprisingly holds up a lot better than people think. It really does.
I wouldn't know because it's my Rock Band 4 console, and it runs like hot garbage because of Rock Band.
Yeah.
Like, I turned it on the other day, and it was nothing but a black screen. I had to hard reboot it, and then it took like 5 minutes to hard reboot.
Wow.
It's because of Rock Band. These consoles are just not designed to handle a game with 2,800 pieces of DLC. It just destroys their file system.
I don't think even a PC could handle it.
I don't know. I have a lot of MP3s on
PC. Unless you had like a 3090 or some shit. Yeah, but it's one thing for it to be an MP3 and another for it to be something that's like hard-coded to play along with and stuff too. Like, it's just different programming, right? And some is more intensive than others. And I think it's asking a lot for just an MP3. So...
I don't know, but Microsoft needs to figure their shit out.
Well, I think that it would be safe to say that Rock Band is the only game on the console that has that much DLC.
Yeah, probably.
So it's probably a very, very niche problem for them that they might not even know is a problem.
To my knowledge, it is not an issue on PlayStation. So,
do you have them all on PlayStation?
No,
I
don't.
Oh, well, then you don't have any knowledge of that. You don't know.
I have a lot of friends who play on PlayStation. They said that they've never had issues on PS4 or PS5 with massive libraries causing their entire system to just shit the bed. I'm pretty sure this is just a Microsoft thing where their operating system just is not designed to handle that much content.
Yeah.
And it freaks the system out. Because I had it installed on my Series X, and my X would run like trash. Everyone's like, oh, the X is the greatest system in the world. I'm like, yeah, it's when games are running, it is impressive. But when I'm doing anything on the OS because of Rock Band, it chugs. I moved it off. We got the Series S. I put Rock Band on there. The Series X is fucking amazing with how quick it is.
Yeah.
And now I can actually experience that because Rock Band is on the Series S instead.
Yeah, I know the girls have been using their Series S for everything from Knockout City to Assassin's Creed Valhalla. And
oh, Knockout and City.
It hangs in there with the best of them. I don't have a single complaint. I don't have any regrets about getting it.
No regrets.
No regrets.
No regrets. Oh, I love Knockout City.
It's so good.
It is so
good. I have not even got to play it all week, but it is so good.
I played some earlier today. Heaven Smile, how are you doing today? I'm going to say hi to anyone who shows up in chat tonight because no one's in chat tonight. So I'm going to just say hi to everybody. Yes, thank you for dropping by. We are, for the people who actually care, we're recording early on Friday because we couldn't record Thursday because you had some issues where you had an attack, a mugger with a machete came at D.
Sure, we'll say that. No, he fell on some wet grass, like a jackass, and like me, actually, like me. he was wearing his work boots, and they were slick on the bottom, and he fell on some wet grass, and when he went down, he caught his elbow on a stack of sheet metal that we had, and so he sliced, it's about a I don't know, 3.5 inch slice on his elbow. Yeah, it's a good size and it's deep. It's a nasty cut. And so he went to the emergency room. The first nurse come in and she was like, I don't think we're even going to put stitches in it. We'll just clean it out. Which was, whew, not a good idea. And then we had to wait another 2 hours for the doctor to come in. And that guy was like, oh, yeah, you should probably have a couple of stitches. And they put 5 stitches in it. And then my husband, in the last 24 hours, has managed to pop all of them because they're right in the bend of his elbow. So anytime he moved his elbow, one would pop.
I was going to say, he probably wasn't taking it that easy, was he?
He was not.
He doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's going to take it easy when the doctor says, yeah, you're going to have to do light duty. Fuck that.
Nope. He got up this morning and went right back to work. He's been working with his cousin flipping houses. And so he was out of here at 7 o'clock this morning already. And they've been putting siding on a house. So he was just climbing all
some Dermabond.
That's what I told him. I was like, I can't believe they didn't put some kind of sealant in there, you know, skin sealant to, you know, liquid bandage at the fucking least or something. Shit.
Ashley says, if need be, use a brand new tube of super glue and it's just as good.
I have heard that. And I was thinking about it last night. I was like, man,
Yeah, use a new tube so there's no contaminants on it, but
yeah.
Snip that fucker and pour it in.
Man, he's in rough shape. That arm is a mess, and I cannot wait to see what that dressing looks like when I gotta change it tonight. I'm sure it's nasty.
Oh, shit.
But
anyway, we should probably talk some news.
Uh-huh. There was some.
This is basically the calm before the storm of E3. Mm-hmm. We had the Summer Games Fest kickoff event hosted by Jeff Keighley, who once again proves he's the most calm, collected, non-nervous, non-jittery host imaginable.
He never gets doe-eyed or starstruck with any of the guests.
Bless his heart.
Very articulate young man.
Bless his heart. He tries.
I did like his shoes. His shoes and his shirt matched, and that was pretty cool.
I didn't notice his shoes.
Yeah, they were light pink. I liked them. Yeah.
Anyway, there was some news bits during the event. We'll just go down the bullet points. I like the important stuff. Tiny Tina's Wonderlands is coming, a new Borderlands experience, said to be a full RPG this time, and they've got a hell of a voice cast for it.
Yeah.
Andy Samberg, Wanda Sykes, Will Arnett, and of course, Ashley Birch.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Video supposedly game coming royalty. Early 2022.
I was surprised by this announcement. Because I hadn't heard a thing about it, and then when I Googled it, and I was like, there were like all these articles from a week ago, and I was like, oh, this was not the big hype moment I thought it was going to be. Huh. Like, people were well prepared, like, with leaks and everything. Of what
I wasn't prepared with this one.
I purposely try to avoid the leaks and stuff, because I like to be surprised. E3 is the one time of year where I'm like, yes, surprise me. The rest of the year, if you're like, I got a surprise for you, I'm like, fuck the fuck off. Because I hate surprises. But I like it with E3. I want that moment when something cool happens on screen.
Yeah.
And so I tried to avoid anything. And that's why I'm like stressed the fuck out trying to navigate Discord right now. Like, stop telling me who bought what. I don't want to know yet. Give me two more days. Then
it's all just rumors. Nothing. We'll see when Bethesda and Microsoft's conference actually happens on Sunday. Mm-hmm. But until then, Death Stranding is getting a director's cut to PS5.
That was the dumbest fucking clip, though. Like, I didn't get it at all.
It was all Metal Gear Solid references.
Was it?
Yeah.
I was like, the fuck? What? It was so weird, and I was trying to understand. I was like, okay, something cool is going to happen any minute, and then he just climbs in the box.
Yeah, it was basically Kojima being Kojima.
That makes sense.
And fucking with people, and trolling people, and Easter egging people, and fun mm-hmm. stuff like that.
I feel like Death Stranding as a whole is just a troll game. Like, the whole thing is so odd. And even though everybody kept going, oh, once you play it, you understand, you'll understand. And then it came out, and then nobody still understood.
Yeah.
And I feel like the whole thing was just the, how much fuckery can we get away with as long as we put rich people in it? And the answer was a lot.
Yeah.
Because I'm still sitting here looking at it on Epic like, oh, it's $23 on sale, and I've got a $10 coupon.
Go for it. Let us know what you think.
I really might. Just because I feel like I want to be trolled by Norman Reedus, too.
Do it. Do it. Let us know what you think.
Okay.
So Jeff Goldblum showed up.
That was a surprise.
Yeah. Jeff Keighley paid for a $50 cameo from Jeff Goldblum.
I like how he mocked his name, too. That was the best part.
Geoff. Geoff. showed up to introduce Jurassic World Evolution 2, which is coming later this year.
This was the biggest hype for me for the whole show. They ruined it right at the very beginning because I loved Jurassic World Evolution. I played that shit so much. It's like Zoo Tycoon meets Jurassic World. You can't fuck that up, and they didn't. And now you're telling me we're getting a sequel and it looks even better?
Yep.
You've lost me as a reviewer because this is just going to be my life now.
Oh, Jesus.
You're going to be like, do you want to review this? And I'm going to say, yeah. And I'm going to be like, this is the last one ever.
It won't be.
No, it probably won't. But I am definitely going to be in a position where I have to delete that shit off my hard drive to get anything else done.
Oh, geez. There was a Sable music performance with the announcement that it is releasing September 23rd.
Okay, that looks good.
It does. I'm excited for that one. They had a video for Lost Ark, which is an Amazon-created MMO coming this fall.
Yes.
I guess it's a PC game?
I couldn't tell you a damn thing about it. I forgot about it already.
Maybe it's coming exclusively to like the Twitch Prime launcher?
Maybe.
I wouldn't be shocked.
You?
I don't know. And they had a...
Oh, no. It looks like it... Is this... It looks like it's on Steam.
Maybe.
Well, this may not be the same game. It may just have the same name. I don't know.
We don't do our jobs here.
Oh, no. This is December 31st, 2021. So Smilegate maybe. And Amazon Games. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
It's $25 for the Founders Pack, $50 for the Gold Founders Pack, $100 for the Platinum Founders Pack, and it's on Steam. So
there you go.
There's that.
That'll be coming out later on this year.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-order now, kids. It's digital. They had a video for Call of Duty Season 4.
Yeah, and then they like basically just shit on us. Because here's my thing. I thought that Season 4 for Warzone, I was expecting them to tack on a little trailer with like an official title or something. Because she mentioned our premium titles. So she's clearly talking about the one due to come out this fall. I feel like the delay in announcing anything other than, hey, Sledgehammer's making it is like, we're not really sure Sledgehammer's going to do a good job and we're hedging our bets to be able to nix them at the end.
No, well, they confirmed that the game will not be at E3 this year.
Yeah, it will not be. We were,
and like I believe they confirmed the name is Call of Duty Vanguard.
Well, Eurogamer confirmed that with their sources. But there's nothing official. Like Activision has not full on said. Even during yesterday's show, she didn't say Call of Duty Vanguard. Like they just kept referring to our premium title from Sledgehammer. So like they haven't the next possible time for them to reveal something would be when they do the mid season refresh for season 4. But even that won't be. Let's see, a season lasts 59 days, so June 17th, I'd say July 17th would be the earliest. And the big thing is like they said, with the success of tying in Cold War's reveal in with Warzone, that's basically how they're going to approach it. So during one of the season refreshes will be the earliest you see anything.
I don't know, I don't give a shit about Call of Duty.
I know. I'm just talking for myself when it comes to this. God bless it.
You have a phone call. Are you going to answer it?
No, I ain't answering. I don't even recognize that number.
Okay. So there was a movie trailer from Ryan Reynolds who they should have just got to host the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, I wish they would have.
That would have been a billion times better.
The movie looks funny as hell.
I was kind of surprised.
Carnage, maybe it's Activision calling.
We're not going to tell you the name of our game. Stop talking. I thought the trailers for Free Guy and stuff had been out for a while, but they were like, it's a premiere. And I'm like, no, it's not.
I think it was just a new trailer premiere, like a new build of the trailer, maybe.
No, I've seen that one before.
You saw that exactly? I don't know
because
then.
I'm odd. Well, I think maybe there was a cut or something that included like, Ninja and Pokemon, but I could have swore I already knew all of that was part of the thing. Like, it wasn't any new information. I'm excited for the show for the movie because I like Ryan Reynolds and it looks like it's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, I don't know why it was part of the game thing. Like, they just run out of things to try to fit in there, and so they were like, let's pack it with the trailer for a game or about a movie about an NPC.
Hey, I'll go watch it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to watch the movie, but for the Game Fest, it was out of place.
Yeah. oh, well, they got Ryan Reynolds. That's all that matters.
Made it worth it.
Yeah. They showed some updates coming to Among Us. There was a trailer for the game Chicory, which just released that day on PS4 and PS5. That one looks adorable. From Finji. They had a trailer for Salt and Sacrifice, the new title coming from Ska Studios next year to PS4 and PS5. A trailer for Solar Ash.
I said it's the sequel to Salt and Sanctuary.
Yep. Solar Ash trailer coming later this year to PS4 and PS5. A lot of PlayStation love this show.
Yeah, I zoned out.
They had a launch trailer for Chivalry 2. Which I am dipping my toes into for review next week, and it is a bloody good time.
Oh, Lord. I did see a dev interview today with the devs for Chivalry 2, and they were talking about how they have a planned update in the future to bring horses to the game.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I'm not happy. I got the special edition, and I didn't get any of the special edition goodies in the game. Like, this is, I feel every other game, this happens. Like, Knockout City, it happened. It took a while for everything to unlock. Bomberman, it took, like, two or three times I had to load the game before it would unlock anything there. The premium stuff that I paid for. Nothing showing up in Chivalry for me. I don't get it. Why is my account fucked up?
I don't know. It's because you have 2,800 Rock Band items.
Yeah, probably. And if you are interested in Chivalry 2, you should check out our Twitter and Carnage's Twitter, because we're doing a giveaway, Chivalry 2.
Nice.
Yeah, buddy. Maybe you could play with us.
Maybe.
They had a video for Streets of Tarkov, the new expansion coming to Escape from Tarkov. And then they revealed what I'm sure you're excited about, Two Point Campus.
Yeah, I am actually really looking forward to Two Point Campus.
Yeah, I knew you would be.
It was another one I'd seen an announcement for a while back. So I already
knew that leaked on a Microsoft store like a week ago or something.
Yeah, so I'm, but it was nice to actually get to see a trailer and stuff for it.
Yeah. Stranger Things is coming to Smite. That's an interesting crossover.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It must have been while I was phased out from the PlayStation titles.
And then this was some pretty cool news. They announced a brand new publishing label.
They did.
The publishing label is Prime Matter. It's from Koch Media. So, you know, Deep Silver, you know, God, what else am I trying to...
Isn't 2K under them?
No, I don't think 2K is.
Which one am I thinking?
I don't know. I can't remember. Silver. Fuck. THQ.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. Maybe that's why I was...
Haha. I'm stupid. THQ Nordic. But they announced this new publishing label from Koch Media called Prime Matter, and they announced a ton of games that are going to be released through this new label, including Payday 3, Crossfire Legion, the next Painkiller game, so Painkiller's coming back.
Okay.
The new Gungrave game called Gungrave Gore, a bunch of new IPs called Scars Above, Codename Final Form, Dolmen, The Last Orikuru, Echoes of the End, The Chant, Encased, and they're also going to be publishing King's Bounty 2, coming to console and PC in August. And then, shocking a lot of people, Kingdom Come Deliverance is coming to the Switch.
Wait, was it?
Yeah, Kingdom Come Deliverance is hitting the Switch.
Wow.
How the fuck are they going to make that work? Because
that's a huge game. I don't know, but I'm glad more people might get to try it out now.
Yeah, they're working with Saber Interactive on this one, who are the ones who did the Witcher port. So, I don't know, anything can happen.
It's probably going to look rough. Like, there's no way for it to not look rough.
Yeah.
Witcher looked rough. There has to be some kind of scale down somewhere. Yeah.
Carnage, let's hope they can deliver.
Get him out of here.
You could ban him if you want.
I can't. He's a mod.
That's right. is. New painkiller game coming. They announced The Anacrusis, a new 4-player co-op game dealing with aliens coming to Xbox and PC and Game Pass. Of course, we had to find a way to get Game Pass mentioned in this episode. You cut out there for a second.
Oh, I set back too far, I think.
Yeah, stop doing that.
Sorry.
Stop doing that.
I'm still trying to adjust to where I move my stuff. But yeah, I'm surprised it took us this long to fit in Game Pass.
But the Anacrusis, that one looks pretty cool.
Nice.
I'm excited for that one. There's a Fast 9 crossover with Rocket League coming June 17th, because why not?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. They've had Fast and Furious franchise with Rocket League before.
Yeah, so. And it makes sense. So bring it on.
Yep.
They revealed Vampire the Masquerade Blood Hunt coming 2021. A closed PC alpha will be happening July 2nd. So if you Google the website for Blood Hunt, you could try getting in on that.
Visually a little rough looking game, but the idea is cool. And yeah. I'm on board.
Again, this looked like something you'd be interested
in. Yeah, absolutely. As soon as I saw and they were like vampires, I was like, sold.
They're not sparkling. I'm good.
Yep. As long as they don't sparkle, bitches, we're in there.
And then another game I know you're interested in, they showed the Dark Pictures House of Ashes trailer. And that's coming out October 22nd.
That was far sooner than I was expecting. So I'm looking forward to that one, too.
Are you into all the Dark Pictures games? Have you played all of them? I don't remember.
I don't think there's been another one since Little Hope. So,
and that was the second one, right?
Yeah. And I didn't play Until Dawn because PlayStation, obviously. Yeah. But Man of Medan. That's not
Dark Pictures, is it?
No. It's in the same universe, I think it's supposed to be, but it's not technically part of the anthology. There's like 9 of them that they're currently working on, have planned out.
Iced.
Yeah. So they plan for it to be a lengthy series. But yeah, I played Man of Medan and I played Little Hope, and I am looking forward to House of Ashes.
Cool. There was a trailer for Tales of Arise. I am very, very, very excited about Tales of Arise. New Tales game. I can't wait. Bring it on. A video for a game called Planet of Lana.
Oh, that one looked good.
Or Lana. Was it Lana? Lana?
I don't remember.
I don't know. It's hitting Xbox and PC in 2022. Then they had a sneak peek of Overwatch 2. Any thoughts on that?
No. I played Overwatch 1 a couple of times when it was free weekend. I own it on PC and I'm just like, meh, it's Overwatch. Yeah.
They had a video for Dungeons & Dragons Dark Alliance, which is releasing later this month. I am very excited for that one.
I'm not into Dungeons & Dragons, but it looked cool. I'll give it that.
Game Pass.
I know, but it's just not my thing.
But you can try it on Game Pass.
I don't get time to play things I'm not reviewing.
Well, I'll make you review it then. Fuck it.
Oh, God damn it.
There was a trailer for Monster Hunter Stories 2, and then a Weezer performance for the game Wave Break.
Weezer, though.
What's wrong with Weezer?
Weezer. Next.
Honestly, I would have pegged you to be a Weezer fan, because they're not screamo.
Just because I don't like screamers doesn't mean I want to listen to Weezer.
Nothing's wrong with Weezer.
They're not Incubus.
Oh, God. Nier and Fall Guy are having a collaboration happening June 18th. So if you ever wanted to be dressed up as Nier characters and Fall Guys, got your back.
The little bean 2B was too much. I was just sitting there going, I'm not seeing this.
Yeah.
Another artist I follow, she had recently done a Patreon drawing somebody had requested of a hamster 2B. That was all I could see when I saw the fall. I was like, they stole her hamster 2B.
That's fantastic. After that, they had a presentation from Deviation Games, a new developer made up of former Treyarch members, and they announced mm-hmm. they are partnering with PlayStation.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
And they really announced that they were partnering with like they were verbally fellating Sony.
Yeah. I was like, ew, the whole time they were talking. I
It's like there's talking good about your new boss, and then there's that, and like they went overboard of nothing of actual substance was announced unless I missed it.
But, they are working on a AAA new IP.
Yeah, but what?
Yeah, anything else we didn't get.
And how do we know it's going to be AAA? Just because of the budget? We don't know if the game's going to be any good.
I mean, it's safe to assume if Sony's doing the publishing and shit, they're going to at least market it as AAA, whether it's good or not.
True.
So.
True. Raider Biz Summer Game Fest could have been an email.
Not wrong.
A lot of this, yeah. Yeah.
Could have been a press release blog.
I mean, the Prime Matter stuff I did read from a press release, so. There was a lot of stuff in that press release, let's be fair. The Prime Matter stuff was some big news.
It's true.
They had a Philharmonic Orchestra perform some Sonic music.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a video for Back for Blood.
Yes. October 12th.
You excited?
Gimme. Is it October? Is it October 11th? No, we need to learn how to skip ahead the clock in real life.
Well, bad news. That doesn't happen.
Balls.
They had a preview for Tunic, and then the news that on this coming Tuesday, there's going to be Tunic along with over 40 other games with demos playable on Xbox with another one of their summer demo events. So
I'm really happy they're doing that.
I know. I love that they do it. It's a bummer that they only last for like a week.
Yeah.
But it's still cool to get hands-on time with some stuff that's super early.
Mm-hmm.
So, they announced a new game, Tribes of Midgard, hitting PC and PlayStation July 27th.
Okay.
And then there was an extended gameplay reveal of Evil Dead the Game.
I still don't know how I feel about that.
No?
It looks okay.
I thought it looked great.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. It. You know what I keep thinking? Could it just have been Dead by Daylight DLC?
Well, I mean, isn't it Dead by Daylight DLC?
I don't know.
I thought it was already.
Is it? I thought it was its own thing.
I don't remember.
Evil Dead, Dead by Daylight DLC. I moved away again. Okay, Ash is in Dead by Daylight too, so yeah, maybe. But I guess it's getting its own thing too. I don't know. I can't keep.
I'll try it anymore. I'll try it. It looks good, and anything with Bruce Campbell is worth checking out in my eyes.
Yeah.
And then the main event, the thing that Jeff Keighley had a raging boner for the entire show, he finally got to show off on his special presentation, Elden Ring.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw a nice chunk of video for Elden Ring. It looks incredible.
Yes.
And it's coming out January.
A lot sooner than I was expecting.
I was thinking like late next year.
Yeah.
And then they're like, January, bitches. I'm like, I bet that was going to be a fall title. And they just delayed it to January. And now they're just announcing it now.
Because that's the way that shit happens. Nobody purposely goes for a January launch.
Yeah, that was supposed to be November, I'm sure.
Yeah, January is the, oops, we missed Christmas launches.
But looks good. I can't wait.
Yep.
And that was Summer Game Fest. The kickoff. That was the kickoff. Some other news.
Yeah.
Couple other things. Electronic Arts was hacked.
Oh.
Yeah, did you hear about this?
I didn't.
EA was hacked and over 780 gig of game data and source code was stolen.
Ooh.
They confirmed no customer data was accessed. So personal data, everything is safe there, but they got like some FIFA source code and I think even like FIFA 22 source code.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. And they're trying to sell it online. So hackers, you're dickheads.
Yep.
And then on the plus side, a new Battlefield game was announced.
It was.
Downside, no campaign. And
balls. Only 7 maps. And it's $70. And what are you doing, EA? Have you not learned anything? This didn't work for Black Ops 3 Battlefield. It didn't work for Black Ops 3. And it isn't going to work for Battlefield 2042. I don't know what they're thinking. It's a bad idea.
Lack of campaign. I completely check out if there's no campaign.
The only reason I play Battlefield is for the campaign. I don't like Battlefield's multiplayer, surprisingly.
Carnage, well, Knockout works well without a campaign. Yeah, true. Knockout City is good without a campaign. Could you imagine if Knockout City had a campaign?
I think I would have liked it less if it had a campaign. Like, there are some games where it works and some it does not. But when you're talking about a first-person shooter franchise where, you know, a campaign and multiplayer have been the format
forever,
fucking decades at this point, there are things that you come to expect as being worth it for the money. If you're going to charge me $10 more, give me half the fucking game, and still only have 7 goddamn maps, what am I paying you for?
Yeah.
It's not potential. It's not good. Yeah.
And they're going to have battle passes and shit like that too.
Yeah. It feels like it needed more time in the oven.
My guess, day one on Game Pass.
There are rumors, pretty solid, that yeah, it could be.
I wouldn't be shocked.
That might be the only thing that holds it afloat, honestly. Yeah.
And hey, at least they're acknowledging it, unlike Call of Duty.
It's true.
Some more sad news for you. The Division team confirmed they will not be at E3 this year.
No! Yep. I was really hoping to hear... Well, the Ubisoft Forward is Saturday, I think. Think so. And I was hoping we were going to hear more about Division Heartland, and I wasn't expecting anything for Division 3. I know they're working on it, but I'm not expecting anything for it. But I was hoping Heartland is supposed to come out this summer, so it would be nice to at least, I don't know, get a trailer.
I don't know, maybe in the future, but
we got nothing.
Not at E3.
So I don't know what the fuck's the point of watching the Ubi Forward tomorrow. Well, like, Ubi who?
There's rumors of like a Division Splinter Cell Ghost Recon mashup shooter coming out.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be its own franchise, though.
I don't know.
Just have like gameplay elements from those games.
I don't know. We'll find out, though. That's the joys of E3. We'll find out.
Find out something or nothing.
Yeah. We will find out nothing about Prince of Persia, which is also a no-show, but it is also getting delayed into 2022.
I have mixed feelings about this.
This was supposed to release in March.
I did say it needed time.
They're giving it time. So hopefully this is, they're doing the right thing.
It looked like trash. It really needed a lot more work. So I'm glad they're going to, but I hope that it doesn't just like go into perpetual development hell and never come out.
I don't know. We'll see. Something that did come out this week, we got the Series X and S versions of Descenders.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. And nice. Star Wars Jedi Force Unleashed, or no. Yeah. Is it Force Unleashed? No. Fallen Order. That's it. Jedi Fallen Order, that got PS5 and Series X and S versions this week as well.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the news I got. Anything you want to talk about, or should we just dive into reviews?
Let's get these reviews done.
All right. First game to talk about tonight is called Sniper Ghost Warrior Contracts 2, developed and published by CI Games. Released June 4th on Xbox One, PS4, and PC for $39.99. Take on the role of Raven, Contracts Sniper Assassin, as he embarks on a new series of contracts in a lawless region of the Middle East, located along the Lebanese and Syrian borders. Tasked with a seemingly impossible task, your mission is to topple an insidious criminal syndicate and bring them to justice. Cole, tell us about your time with Sniper Ghost Warrior Contracts 2.
I have to be honest here and say that even though I love the Sniper franchise, I didn't play Contracts 1. We have it. We have it on Xbox, and it is one of those games that, like, David starts playing it, and he plays it until, like, 4 a.m. on accident, and then he's like, oh, shit, and I'm like, I really need to make time for that. So, when you said Contracts 2, I was like, well, fuck, I'm taking it so I know I have time to play it, because if I put it in my review schedule, I don't have a choice. And so, that worked out swimmingly for me. And I now understand why David spends ungodly hours playing Contracts 1 and now Contracts 2, because he's hooked on it as well. So you do play as Raven. Raven is very neutral as fuck. No actual name, no backstory. You're just an elite sniper who is out there in the hills of this desert, sniping and murdering your way across these contracts. When you start, you'll go through a lengthy tutorial. It'll teach you how to use all your equipment, your drones, you know, your grenades, your meds, all that good stuff. It's really thorough, really helpful, get you through. Not mad at anything at all as far as tutorial goes. Once you complete the tutorial, you unlock the actual area where your first set of contracts will be at. When you start, you kind of have a few options about how to approach the contracts. Each area has a set number of higher up enemies that you need to take down. They're your bounties, basically. You'll have to take out some low-level soldiers to get info, and you can interrogate them if you can sneak up on them. You'll need to hack computers and destroy satellites and all kinds of things in order to get to your target. Once you get to your target, then it's all about the way you kill them. And one of the best things about this game is that you can approach it so many different ways that you can go back and replay it and find yourself in different scenarios every time you approach a target based on what you did differently. Not only that, but it was actually a lot of fun after playing to just sit down and talk to my husband about the different ways that we managed to kill our contracts. And I was super proud. And I was like, oh, what's your longest kill? And he's like, I don't know, about 1340, right? I was like, bitch, mine's 1712. I'm a better sniper than you. So that kind of stuff is actually really fun. There's a lot of it gives you all kinds of information that you can, you know, banter back and forth with your friends with. Even though it's single player, you can be like, who's better, me or you? I love that kind of stuff. We were sitting there even afterward talking about, oh, I managed to get 6 collateral kills, which is when you kill 2 people with 1 bullet, right? I was like, I managed to get 5 or 6 collateral, and he'd be like, oh, I only got 2. Now I gotta go do it again. And you wanted to replay to try to one up each other. It's not all fun in games. There's a couple of things. One major thing I wanted to gripe about is that some elements are like some materials that you can use are locked out of different missions. So even though you can approach it different ways and stuff, like once I managed to unlock a drone and I went back to redo a mission thinking I would be able to change some things with a drone, it still wouldn't let me use the drone in that mission because you're not supposed to have one yet at that point. And so then I was just pissed. I was like, why do you keep showing me all the cool things I can hack if I can't have a drone that hacks it, you know? So even though I had drones and I had them available and they were technically in my pouch, I couldn't use them. So that was disappointing. But especially because the game goes so far out of its way to be like, use your drone to hack this and change the world by doing that. And you're like, yes, 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 I'm going to do all the cool things. And then it's just like, no, 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 not this level. You can't have the drone this level. Motherfucker. They've really gone out of their way to create just such a massive variety of ways that you can approach these contracts. And I can't brag on it enough. I absolutely loved it. There was one point where I saw a car and I was like, oh, I'm going to drop a car on an enemy and create a distraction, right? They'll think it was an accident. Well, I did it thinking, okay, they're going to think it's an accident. But my dumb ass went in there without a flash hider on my muzzle, and they saw the flash from my sniper and knew it was me. And so then I had to start over and do it again with the proper equipment to make that triggered so that they would think it was an accident instead of me on the hills. That's actually really cool that they put that much thought and detail into something so small. Because in a lot of shooter games, it's like, oh, you've got a flash hider on. You don't show up on a mini map, you know? But to actually go so far as to go, no, there was a sniper on that route that saw your shit. You're fucked. Another thing that's nice about it is the save system is really prolific and very forgiving. So you can actually, if you do fail a contract or you've triggered a set of consequences, like you've blown up a tank or something and it's set off a firebomb and you're about to fail if they notice it, you can actually go in and reload either your last checkpoint or you can just go back through your actual saves and look for one that's a little further back, but not so far back that you have to restart over.
That's handy.
That's a nice touch because it lets you try out different scenarios without fear of, oh no, if I mess this up, it's all fucked up, right?
Yeah.
The other thing is that the difficulties are really forgiving. There's four difficulties. And if you play on the lowest one, there's no fail states. If you miss your contract, you can still go to the extraction point and get the money and items that you earned in your unlock points up until that point and still extract, even though you missed the contract. And you just go back and replay it again for that one contract.
I like that. The fact that you get to keep your progress and...
Yeah, because otherwise it would be really easy to be like, oh, you know, I missed one out of four contracts, or some of them even have even more than that. If you miss one out of four, you get nothing. And that's what a lot of games would do just for the sake of, haha, hard game is hard, right? You know, fuck you. Hard game is hard. So the fact that they're like, no, you put in work. Take that shit and go. I can really appreciate that. Plus, the maps are huge for these different areas. So you can actually unlock fast travel points. And the next time you spawn back in, let's say you miss one contract up in the northwest corner, you can start the whole game at that northwest corner fast travel point if you hit it in a previous run. So you don't have to actually go through the whole mission over again. You can just go for the one contract that you missed out on and then evacuate or stay put and keep fucking around and killing minions and getting points.
Yay, points.
Yay! Which the points is currency that you use to buy extra weapons and stuff. So it's a nice touch that I will say initially when I did a couple of runs, I was like, man, it's going to take forever to actually get the money to like unlock anything. But if you manage to do a run where you get like all the contracts and stuff, you're so overflowing in money and points and upgrades that you won't know what to do with yourself. So it's a lot more approachable than it initially seems like it's going to be. Because when you look at it, you're like $30,000 for a drone, but then like you do two contracts and you got $90,000, and you're like, never mind, it's fine. I was upset over nothing.
Thankfully, the game is not $90,000. It's only $40. So what do you think of Sniper Ghost Warrior Contracts 2?
This is AAA game quality at a $40 price tag. And I think you absolutely should buy it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Works for me. All right. Next up is Maneater, developed and published by Tripwire Interactive, released May 25th on the Switch for $39.99. Experience the ultimate power fantasy as the apex predator of the seas, a terrifying shark. Maneater is a single player action RPG set in the unforgiving waters of the Gulf Coast. Fight to survive in the open ocean with danger lurking at every depth. Your only tools are your wits, your jaws, and an uncanny ability to evolve as you feed. Our friend Serlina wrote in a review. This is what she's got to say. Hello, SML lovelies, it's your girl Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing Maneater for the Nintendo Switch. Developed and published by Tripwire Interactive, Maneater Maneater puts you in the perspective of the most feared beast in the sea, the very hungry great white shark that's on a mission of righteous vengeance against tasty humans. Let's start with the review. First, I have to say the premise of the game is ridiculously silly, yet highly entertaining. I never thought I would want to play as a shark eating people. And I found myself glued to the screen, hoping to find an unsuspecting human to gobble up. Of course, there's other things you can snack on, like fish, turtles, seals, even alligators, but the game is called Maneater for a reason. We want them human meats. The gameplay is pretty simple and very action RPG-like. You eat things to gain experience, to level up, and mutate your shark. As we all knew, sharks have done very little evolving over the millions of years, but in this game, if you want your shark to evolve metal protective plates, you can do that. Mutations are fairly fun and a few are a bit useless, but I'm not here to tell you how do you want to play your underwater killing machine. Do you. You know, whatever makes you happy. There's also collectibles that you can gather, and those were pretty fun for me to get too. What I like about the collectible hunting is that the game doesn't make it too hard for you to actually find them. For example, you can collect license plates for XP. They're always above the water and shining. I like easy to spot, but not necessarily easy to get collecting. After all, sharks can't breathe air, or can they?
They can if you put your points into it.
Yeah.
And you should, because it makes the collectibles easier.
Where this game absolutely shines is the story. Can you believe that a game about killing sharks would have such an amazing presence story-wise? As a hint, before you even start, turn on the subtitles. Don't say I didn't warn you. You won't want to miss a thing here. The game pulls such an okey-doke on you in the very first act that just dragged me right in. Also, learning about all the people that your shark will come up against is such a joy and a delight. Each of the characters are vivacious, filled with personality. It was almost sad that I had to eat them. Let's talk about the graphics. The game runs on the Unreal 4 engine, and it looks amazing on the Switch. I was very taken aback by how lush and colorful the environments look. Your shark also looks awesome, especially when you start really digging into those mutations. Even with just your typical shark, there's a lot of details in the design. I truly just enjoyed looking at the game. However, there's a really big issue with the game, and I would be remiss if I didn't talk about it. The controls in this game are awful. They are horrible in every stretch of the imagination. Now, regular movement is good. Just swimming underwater or knifing the surface feels fluid, great, natural. Everything else is a horrific chore that was designed by someone who enjoys finger torture. I can't recommend that you play this in handheld mode, which is really upsetting for me, as I adore handheld mode. Even on the TV, the controls don't get much better. You can invert the controls and that might help some, but I didn't find it to be that much of a help for me. I just had to suffer in silence as I tried to slake my shark's hunger with as many people as possible in the most efficient manner I could. Maneater is available on the Nintendo Switch and other platforms for $39.99, and should you buy it? If the controls weren't so bad, I would give this game a buy it, immediately and without question. With the current controls, it's a try it. Everything but the controls is amazing. The game could be a case of Switch, this could be a case of Switch design, but since I haven't experienced this game on other platforms, it's hard to say. Love the game, hate the controls, such is life.
I'm curious what the controls are different on the Switch now, because I've played it on PC and Xbox and I didn't have any trouble.
I don't know, maybe it's just like hand positioning.
Could be. I mean, I generally dislike playing on the Switch because of controls for everything. Yeah. So I would.
Arnage saying it's fine on Xbox. It might be one of those things where how like A is B and B is A with Nintendo. Maybe things are just reversed in setup. I wouldn't be shocked. But anyway, next game to talk about is Green Hell, developed and published by Creepy Jar, released June 9th on Xbox One and PS4 for $24.99. Green Hell is a sweltering struggle for survival in the Amazonian rainforest. Clinging to life, the player is set on a journey of durability as the effects of solitude wear heavy, not only on the body, but also the mind. How long can you survive against the dangers of the unknown? Cole, tell us about your time with Green Hell.
Do I know how long I survived?
How long?
I fell off a cliff in about 5 minutes and died.
So and then you were me?
After that, I was like, now I'm just on a mission to murder this motherfucker. And so number one was watching me play it earlier, and she was like, why are you eating all of the things? And I was like, listen, I want to see what it does. And so, you know, there was one point where I came across the corpse of a capybara that was A, had rotting meat, and B, had maggots. And I was like, well, I guess we're eating this today. And the funny thing is if you eat the really horrible shit, you get stomach upset and your character, who is named Jake, by the way, will puke his guts up on a timer. And whatever you are doing, he will stop, hands on knees, bleh, on his own shoes, and then you can carry on trying to survive. It's fantastic and delightful. All the terrible, terrible ways. I had rashes. I went insane and thought there were worms were crawling all over me. I had to pick off leeches in the middle of the night by firelight. I came to a point where I was like, surviving is not in my cards. Now we're just going to see how miserable we can be. And it did not disappoint.
Well, it is green hell.
It is. And they really went out of their way just to be like, this is going to be hell for you. And I want to point out that I was straight up murdering this guy in some really horrific ways. And I was on story mode. I had that shit set to where there wasn't even any predators to kill me. There wasn't any. I got bit by a spider and a rattlesnake, so that clearly we have different opinions on what counts as a predator, by the way, developers. Because I wasn't purposely trying to get dead when that one happened. walking along and didn't hear the rattle until after it had already bit my ass. You can't cure that by eating spoiled mushrooms, by the way. I tried. Once I got snake bit, I was like, throw everything at it. Hope for the best. There are some really creative elements in this game, beyond just how you can kill Jake, but also in how you actually have to like heal and treat him. You have to inspect his body. And he will put his arm out and you have to rotate the arm, and then you have to look at the other arm and rotate it, and then you have to look at the legs and rotate them. And so if there are leeches or worms or whatever, if there's a worm, you have to legit take a bone knife and pick it out.
Cute.
Of the wound. And then you can bandage it.
Yeah.
Or you... There's an achievement for just letting maggots take over and do what they do.
Of course there's a...
Uh-huh.
I'm just like, I'm not going there. Developers, you're fucked up. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, they almost wanted Jake to be miserable as much as I did. So the actual premise of why you're in the Amazon rainforest, without giving away too much spoilers, there is apparently some sort of event that you and your spouse Mia believe a tribe, one of those lost tribes that like full on shoot at helicopters with bows and arrows that live in the Amazon, right?
Mm.
This tribe has come up with a way to vaccinate against poison frogs by burning you as a child and then introducing small bits of venom until you build up immunity to it, correct?
Okay.
Apparently something with that process is what this couple is trying to infiltrate this tribe and become trusted by them so that they can use this information as technology. I didn't find out a whole lot beyond that because, like I said, I spent all my time trying to die and exploring around. So the couple becomes separated. There's a little bit of a Firewatch element if you've played that game, where you have a walkie-talkie and you can speak to Jake's spouse, Mia, via the walkie-talkie. It's solar charged, so the batteries will die if you are going through too much like of the dialogue options. It'll die on you. And then you have to wait a little while for it to charge before you can do it again. You have to find different things to survive with. This is one of my biggest gripes with the game. I'm pretty sure a grown-ass man who knows how to survive in the Amazon could walk up to a flower and pick it without needing a knife. But resource collection in this game is kind of a bitch. And they don't ever just like let you walk up and pick up something. Snails and mushrooms, you can just walk up and pick up. Bananas, if you can find those ripe, you can just pick. But if you need a plant for medicinal herbs or whatever, if you don't have something sharp to cut it with, you can't have it. And I'm pretty sure a grown-ass man can pull off a palm frond. Like, that just doesn't seem proper to me. Like, he should be able to, I don't know, you could pick a tobacco leaf. It's fine. But this is the one thing, like, they are dead set on, you can't have these resources unless you've either found a knife or made one somehow. And it's just frustrating for no reason. Because sometimes coming across the materials that you need to find or make these things is really scarce. Even on easier difficulties, even if you full on go like hardcore custom and like turn off anything can kill you, because you can do that. You can go into the custom settings and not even get bit by snakes, and that's fine. That's great. I like that those options are there. Unfortunately, though, they do limit achievements to a lot of the higher difficulties, and that's not my favorite thing. There's some you can get regardless, particularly all the ways you can die. But the other ones, like for surviving certain types of situations or getting to certain points in the story, you have to be on a higher difficulty, and that's, I'm not a fan of that. I want to point out, I was so surprised. I think this might be one of the prettiest games I've ever played. It's gorgeous. I don't think the screenshots do it justice. There are some sequences, not to give away spoilers, but where sanity is clearly an issue, and shit happens when you're eating random unknown mushrooms off of logs, right? And some of these sequences are just absolutely visually stunning. I was so enthralled by them. There are some cutscenes, especially when like there are other human characters involved, where it's not as smooth as it could be. They look a little more waxy. But the actual environment itself, which is 90% of your experience with the game, the environment, the animals in it, the AI for those animals, really impressive. I would like to know why there are always dead toucans, though. My bag can only hold so many dead toucans. The only other thing I wanted to touch on, the navigation and inventory management is a bit clunky. It makes sense the way it's lined up, in that you have to, you have your backpack. Of course, you're hiking along in the Amazon, right? So you have your backpack, and there are limited amounts of slots for certain types of gear and things. I'm pretty sure if I have this big ass hiking backpack, though, I can fit more than two dead toucans in it. they've gone that whole, like, it's almost Resident Evil-like in how each compartment is organized and, like, how much you can fit. You know how, like, Resident Evil has, like, the blocks?
Yeah.
And, like, a gun is two blocks and bullets are one block type of thing. It's that same kind of concept, even though it's not lined out in blocks like that. But I spent just a stupid amount of time trying to decide, is this mushroom worth keeping? So, or do I throw it away so I can have another dead parrot for a minute? Although they do make up for it a little bit, in that you can actually access things that are on the ground and harvest them and break them down into smaller elements without having to put them in your backpack first. So that is a nice touch. The other thing that I wish that they would do is, when you're crafting, the craft recipe is in your journal, but you can't access that while you're on the crafting section, because the crafting is, there's a rock on the top of the screen. Your backpack with your materials is on the left side of the screen. And there's, it basically will just have like blank slots. So you select items to go toward the crafting rock. And when you got the right number of items, it'll say, okay, now you can craft this, and you hold RB to do it. But if you need to go and look back at a recipe in your notebook, you just have to close out everything in your crafting to go do it. you can't have the notebook up. It would be nice if you could just like select a recipe that you're going to craft, and maybe if it had like a little torn piece of paper somewhere in the notebook or in the backpack that was kind of like paper clipped on or something, be like, hey, this is what I'm trying to make. This is the recipe for it.
Yeah.
It would be a lot easier than constantly having to shuffle back and forth. But otherwise, I was really surprised by how much I liked this game. Even though it was frustrating and surprisingly difficult even on story mode, it was a lot of fun just to explore around and see what I could get into.
Well, $24.99. What are your thoughts on Green Hell?
I really... was this the one that I looked at Steam and was like, wow, those are some mixed reviews? I'm on the positive remember. Side. I'm really impressed and surprised with this game. Like I said, it was one of the prettiest games I've ever played, and I give it a buy it. I'm shocked at myself, but cool. Yeah.
All right. Next up is Violet Remastered, developed and published by Forever Entertainment, released June 4th on Xbox One for $9.99. Dragged by her parents, a young and rebellious teenage girl, Violet, moves to an old spooky house in the middle of nowhere, forced away from her friends and life in the city. She imagines how boring life in the countryside will be, spending day after day bored in her room with absolutely nothing to do. But what she cannot imagine is that in just a few moments, she'll have the adventure of her life. Cole, tell us about Violet Remastered.
So Violet finds some kind of tiny little door to another... I'm trying not to give too much away from it. To another dimension or world, if you will. And at this point, it becomes... very much a Alice in Wonderland meets Coraline bastard love child. And I was on board for it. I'm not mad at the mashup at all. It's a delightfully weird kind of point and click with just everything is out of sorts and unusual. And you're like, yeah, it makes sense, but it's weird kind of thing, you know? It's a remaster. It looks great. I will say, not a big fan of the controls. I don't know how you have a point and click and you bork the controls, but here we are. unfortunately, how do I describe this? You have your backpack, which is your inventory. As you do in a point and click, you always have an inventory, right? So, If you're trying to use items from that backpack, sometimes you can press Y and it shows up. Sometimes you can go up to the top of the screen and then it just disappears because you move the cursor. So if you don't have the cursor up there already and then press Y, it's just going to disappear again. And a lot of the controls are tied to the right hand of the controller. So you're really limited in how you can like... move around, and it felt very right hand heavy. That's so hard to describe. like you can use the left thumbstick and stuff to move Violet once you get her free from the initial scene, but everything that you're doing, like when you're interacting with items or pointing, clicking around, it's all tied to that the right bumper and the face buttons. But you have to use your thumbstick to move the cursor. So it kind of feels like you need to play in that claw orientation to actually be able to do everything sometimes.
That's never fun to play claw style.
I can't because of arthritis. So there were actually times where I was turning the controller and using my left thumb on the thumbstick so I could use the face buttons and the bumper at the same time. So that definitely needs some smoothing out. That's my biggest gripe about the game. The puzzles themselves, odd and quirky, but not anything that like you can't figure out if you look at it long enough. So they're plenty intuitive. I don't have any complaints about anything in that department. But it's not one that I would say, if you're not already a fan of point and clicks, it's not one that's going to sell you on point and clicks, right?
Yeah.
And that the bad control scheme is a big part of why. But also just because it's not really straightforward, or and the story isn't really it's nichey and not something that's going to appeal to people, I guess is what I'm trying to say without saying the same thing. Like, it, you have to be that kind of person that's a, like, into the quirkiness of it, or it's just all lost on you. Even getting started with it, even being somebody who's like, yeah, weird stories and stuff are my thing, and Alice in Wonderland and Coraline made together is like a match made in heaven for somebody like me, right? I named my kid Alice, for fuck's sakes. Of course I like Alice in Wonderland. But even still, like, it really took me some time to just get into the world.
Yeah.
Before I was like, okay, this is good. But I think a lot of other people would struggle with that. Does that make sense? Yeah. I feel like I'm not doing a good job reviewing it because I enjoyed it, but I don't think a lot of other people would. It's definitely something that you've got to be
an acquired taste.
Yeah. And I have quirky enough taste to go for it, but I think a lot of other people might be a little more over it.
Well, for $10, what do you say?
It definitely justifies a try it. But again, it's something you really want to look at and make sure it's going to be a game that you're on board for.
Cool. All right. Next up is Peepaw's Farm, developed and published by Icon Games, released June 9th on Xbox One for $4.99. Peepaw's Farm is the ultimate way to experience life as a farmer that hates farming. Get your hands dirty, feed your ungrateful pig, and grab your eggplant all in a day's work. Cole, tell us about your time with Peepaw's Farm.
I have never played one of these games like this and been like, I wish there was more. It was so short and to the point that even at a low price tag, I was like, it had potential and you kind of squandered it on a weird story about an eggplant. So basically you play as people. I hate when people call them peepaws. Papaw, we call them papaw in redneck land.
Well, tough shit. It's peepaw in this game.
It's peepaw. I hate it. I hate
tough
it so much.
Shit.
It's so rude.
You're rude.
I am often. Yes.
You're going to say peepaw and you're going to like it.
Fuck. So yeah, you play as Peepaw. Peepaw's granddaughter is helping him out on the farm, and by helping out, I mean she's standing there in front of the house with her phone, not looking up and telling him everything that she needs done. You need to load up pumpkins, you need to load up some carrots and some broccoli and some shit to go to the farmer's market. And while you're doing these things, you will discover that Boomer the pig, who can for some reason talk to you, wants an apple. And the scarecrow is not scary enough, so you're going to rig up some chainsaws to it for reasons. And the chainsaws spin for other reasons. You have a little too much time on your hands. You're going to do all this in under 5 minutes, by the way.
Yeah, you are.
Well, you might not
the first time.
Unless you're using a god.
Yeah, you cheating bastard. Do it legit. This is one of those games where, seriously, it's so easy that if you have to use a guide for this, you're just lazy.
I did it in 21 minutes, and that was with stopping the first time to go into the guide and look through the achievements to see what they were.
Mm.
And then I was like, oh, shit, there was one for 5 minutes. Well, I guess I'm not getting that one right now, huh?
See, I played the game once through, it's an adorable game. It's something that is literally meant to be played in 5 to 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, according to the dev, quite possibly never again. Like, this is a game where the developer knows what they made, and they're embracing it, and they're running with it, and I respect the fuck out of that.
Not a video guide, Carnage. Carnage said, my guide, I hope. No, I didn't use a guide. I meant the Xbox guide. I was looking to see what the achievement list was.
I played once through it, and I missed, I think, two or three achievements, and then the one to do everything in one mission.
Yeah.
The second time I played through, I just focused on getting everything done as efficiently as possible, and I did it all in 5 minutes, and I got my 1,000.
Yep. I love the art style for this, and I like the concept. I'm disappointed that it is just a 5-minute game. right? Like, I want it to be more. I think that there could have been more. I wanted them to add more to the farm for there just to be more than there was. And so that's me, because I love fucking farm games.
Oh, like, you're going to be looking forward to Peepaw's other farm or Meemaw's farm.
I hate the word Peepaw. I wanted more than just achievements for this game, but it kind of feels like it's only for achievements.
That's why I said the game knows what it is. The developers knows what they know what they made, and they're embracing it. And for $5, I respect it. And I say, fuck it. Why not?
Yeah,
if you're looking for easy achievements and a quick 10-minute playthrough that's not going to stress you out, go for it. It's cute. It's adorable. I can agree. I wish there was more. Maybe we'll get a 20-minute game next time.
Maybe. But yeah, I enjoyed it and just wish there was more. So fuck it. Why not?
All right, shifting gears, next game to talk about is The Last Kids on Earth and The Staff of Doom, developed by Stage Clear Studios, published by Outright Games, released June 4th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $39.99. Join Jack and his friends on an epic post-apocalyptic quest to save our world from the Queen of the Slime Monsters. Paul, tell us about your time with The Last Kids on Earth and The Staff of Doom.
I assume that they've tucked in the subtitle there because they intend to make more of these, and I'd be okay with that. I do want to point out that I was not aware that The Last Kids on Earth was like a book
thing.
Yeah, it's a thing, like a book franchise and stuff. And so when I started playing the game, I was like, who the fuck are these characters? Why does everything like acting as if I should already know what's happened? It very much just throws you into the world without any real explanations. Like, it does some bare minimum setup for the story that the game is going off of, but it doesn't, like...
There's, like, no introduction to characters or anything.
Nothing. It's just like, well, this is your shit. Bye! And you're like, okay, but wait. And then you're just standing there with granny zombies coming after you, and you've got to pick which character you're going to play with. Which is another thing. Before you even start, you choose your character. Of course, the female character has the lowest health. There's only one female character, and then there's one black male character, and then there are two other white male characters. So it is what it is. It's based on an existing franchise. Can't blame the devs for that, but I will bitch that I hate when a game takes a female character and immediately gives them less health than the males. Fuck off.
But are they faster then, too? Because they're usually faster then, too.
No.
Or they have more agility or something.
No. I think she might have a little more stamina. I don't remember specifically. I remember seeing the health and going, God damn it, and picking another character.
See, they always drop the health, but they always boost something else to make up for it.
Yeah.
Because girls also, are better than us in other ways.
She also has a... her weapon is like an actual fist that shoots some kind of laser thing. So it's like shoots this purple lasery looking goo. But so she has the ability to actually shoot, as opposed to the two primary male characters that you can choose from are melee. One has like a little wooden sword. The other one uses a hockey stick. And then the third male character, he has like a rocket launcher type of thing, or a grenade launcher. So her weapon is decidedly a little faster as far as the two gun types go, because the grenade launcher shoots considerably slower. So, I mean, she does have that going for her, but when I tried to play as her, because you can switch between the characters throughout the game if you want to, there are like phone booths you go to switch characters. Not necessarily a phone booth, but I'm outdated, so it looks like a phone booth to me. But there's also an actual like payphone that you can call to get a car to come to, or the truck. The truck is called Big Mama.
How many people are going to see a payphone and be like, I know what that is?
Yeah. RIP. So yeah, you can change between the characters. It's not dynamic usually in these kind of games, you can choose like dynamically and just press on the D-pad and instantly get the new character. This one actually makes you search out for a place to change the character. Not a huge fan of that, but I would have liked the dynamic instead. Particularly because when you're in boss battles, sometimes you can be playing, if you're playing solo, you're like, oh no, I could definitely see where using the rocket launcher would have been more advantageous than sitting here whacking at them with a hockey stick. But my biggest gripe, particularly with the female character and also the male character with the rocket launcher, is that they should have just gone for a twin stick shooter type of element, because the game plays as a top down anyway. Not necessarily completely top down. It's kind of like that in between phase between top down and isometric that always fumbles me up and I don't know how to describe. It uses that kind of a camera angle. So it wouldn't have been the end of the world if they had just gone for a twin stick type of mechanic for the shooting. I would have liked to have seen that better rather than having to like move your character around and press. Of course, they want to start now. Press X, especially because if you're trying to like back up, your character will immediately just turn around and then you're shooting in that in the direction you're running instead of shooting at the enemies. So it makes it to where you have to actually press the button to lock on to the enemy and then back up in order to still continue to like walk backwards and shoot them. It's a little convoluted, especially when you consider this is kind of aimed at a younger audience.
Yeah.
It got to a point where I was just like, I don't even want to try to play with these characters anymore. And I just beat everything to death with a fucking hockey stick. So in addition to actually beating down the zombies, which they are kind of few and far between, when you're just exploring the world, you're not in any danger of like getting overrun. Considering the game really wants you to play it with four players, if you are playing with four actual local players, you're all going to be fighting over who actually gets to whack something. Because there's not a lot of enemies around. You will get into occasional like combats where you have a slightly larger horde of enemies, but each character has a special monster that they can call in to back them up. So even then, like, it's, you're not, even if you're playing alone, you're not going to get overpowered to the point you can't do it. Because you have the special monster that you can call in. Now, that's on a timer. You can't call it in constantly, but you can call them in pretty quickly. And usually if you call it in once, you've wiped out any enemies that are around you. You don't have anything to worry about. So you have the special monster. You also have, each one has their own different types of throwable. The hockey stick wielding guy, for example, has the sticky grenade that kind of slows any enemies that get into it down. The other guy has a boomerang. I don't even remember what the other two had. But there's options for like how to approach different situations. But pretty much everything is even enough that as long as you're paying attention to your surroundings. I don't think I died at all, even like purposely trying. I just got tired of waiting for them to kill me. Enemies drop pizza, which gives you your health back. And most of the time there's far more pizza than you have hearts to even heal. So you're doing fine. It is, again, meant for kids, and even kids aren't going to find it particularly difficult, which I'm not mad at.
Yeah, I could go for easy games.
I will say, like I said, I play
on easy all the time anyway. So what's the matter if the game is naturally easy?
Start me out at easy. I ain't mad at you. Like I said, the game looks good. It plays well. It's interesting. I wasn't like bored or frustrated or anything. I was just like, yeah, I can sit back, put my feet up, play through this. I can play it with the kids. You kind of have to at least play with a second controller or something once, because there's an achievement for reviving somebody in multiplayer. But otherwise, you can pretty much do it all on your own. I will say the achievements, though, are grindy nightmares.
Like what?
There's one for getting having one of the special monsters spin 5,000 times. Remember what? That those are on timers. So, like, and you can't even control how many times they spin when you call them in. Because it does, like, the special monster does this spin attack where it kind of, like, slices up all, any of the enemies around you.
Oh, man.
And so you basically just have to call it in. And there is no achievement tracking.
Oh, no.
So you just have to sit there and keep getting into fights and calling in that spinner and seeing if it gets it or not.
Listen, developers, if you're going to put in bullshit, grindy achievements like this, include achievement tracking, please.
There's achievements for getting all of the collectible comic books. There's achievements for completing all the side quests. Again, there's no tracking for any of it. There's one for getting 250 zombies stuck in every special grenade type.
No tracking.
None of it. Grindy as fuck.
Damn.
And I was like, you know what? I'm going to beat it and call it a day.
Sometimes that's what you got to do. But $40 on this one. What are you thinking of The Last Kids on Earth and The Staff of Doom?
I don't, like I said, I don't hate it. I think it's fine, but it could definitely use a little polish in that that we need some achievement tracking. And then the story could stand to be a little more explained. I don't know that that's something you can go in and patch in, though, right? It just kind of is what it is at this point.
No.
So I'm okay giving it a try. I think it's fine. It just has some things that I would bitch about because it's me.
Yeah. So grindy achievements, maybe a little more introduction for the characters to appeal to people who aren't necessarily fans of the franchise. It seems like
sometimes
they're missing out on welcoming in new people.
Yeah. Sometimes with these tie-in games, what people forget is that they think, oh, well, it's going to sell because it's a brand that people recognize. But also sometimes there's people like me or my kids who pick something like this up because it's a game type that they like.
Yeah.
Without realizing that it's a tie-in. I had no idea. I was halfway through it. And I was like, fuck it. I'm going to go look this up because I'm so confused. And yeah, it's like book series and everything. And I was like, when the fuck did this come out? So, I mean, that happens.
No. All right. Well, next game to talk about is Sun Wukong versus Robot, developed by Bitka and Indie Nova, published by Rattlake Games, released June 11th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5. And Switch for $4.99. Our hero appears at the center of a mechanical maze and is holding the weapon from his legends. However, he is imprisoned by a mind locker that has been put on his head. To regain his freedom, Wukong must defeat the four robots. Cole, tell us about your time with Sun Wukong versus Robot.
It was a very frustrating time. It started off like, okay, I'm an adorable monkey in a pixely style. And I'm just going to whack at things with this stick and kill it and move on. And that went well. It was going swell. And then I was like, I've been doing this for 5 minutes. Why don't I have an achievement yet? This is a Rattlake. What the fuck is going on here? I should be halfway done.
No, this is a real game.
Yeah. It played with my emotions. It punked me is what happened. And I think I got maybe two achievements. Because it gets surprisingly difficult. There's a lot of health around. I was really, really misguided by the availability of health, thinking that that would correlate with difficulty. Because you can just, like, there's these glowing orbs on the walls, and you can kind of whack them and you get health. And I thought, oh, I'm going to be fine. I can just kind of face tank this shit and go through and whack things with my stick and be done. And I would try to whack a turret and it would shoot me a whole bunch. So you have to be a little more careful about how you move around in this platformer and how you actually attack things, because they're going to fuck you up and you're going to die. And saves are few and far between. And you have to actually, like, navigate these complicated puzzles of flipping door switches and platforming and being attacked by robot things that just non-stop shoot at you as soon as they see you. And giant rock monsters that smash you, and bat things that constantly follow you around and shoot at you. There's no reprieve in this game. It's surprisingly difficult.
And I appreciate that from a Radleika title, because we've gotten into this rut where everything that comes from Radleika seemed to be a quick, easy completion. And then they throw a game at you like this where it demands your attention. It's like, mm-hmm. wake the fuck up. This is not an easy completion. You're going to have to play this game. You're going to have to respect this game. You're going to have to learn this game, and yeah. you're going to like it.
Yeah.
And I like it.
I kind of liked it. At the time, I was like, this is hard and I'm not a fan. But the more I played it and the more skills and stuff I unlocked and the more I started to understand the world, because it does not help you out at all. It's very much like, you're here, good luck. The more I started to actually understand how to navigate the puzzles and stuff, the more I enjoyed it. And the more I, like I said, the more I respected it for what it was, because it was not just something I could blow through. I don't have any particular complaints other than it would be a little easier, or a little better, not easier, a little better if the hitboxes were a little more accurate. Because some of the enemies, particularly the bats, like I would hit them once and I would do the exact same move over and not hit them at all. So that was kind of frustrating.
I wonder if it's iframes or something where you can't just heatedly crack them.
Maybe, but I'm not technical enough in game dev to know the proper reason why that was happening. So my assumption is hitbox are bad, and that's fine. But you know, that's something you need to be aware of, that there's definitely a learning curve and some difficulty involved here, and you're not just going to load it up and complete her in 5 minutes.
And again, I think that's a highlight of this game, especially because when Radleika puts out stuff that demands your full attention and is a full game that has achievements that span the entire thing, they're usually more than $5. And this is still a $5 title.
Yeah, that's really impressive, to be honest. I was expecting it to be more after playing it. I thought it was going to be one of the $10 or $15 titles. So I'm really surprised that it's still in the $5 price tag. I do think it fits well in the $5 price tag, even though it's not an easy completion. There's nothing wrong with having a $5 game that's difficult and actually put some effort on it. So
yeah, they don't all need to be Peepaw's Farm.
Yeah, Peepaw's Farm could have been a dollar. But yeah, I feel weird because I feel like it sounds like I'm complaining about it, but I actually really liked it a little more than I sound like I do. It was a good challenge and a good change of pace.
Well, then $5. What is your verdict on Sun Wukong versus Robot?
Yeah, I'm good giving it a buy it.
Cool, I can agree.
Sometimes you just want to. Sometimes you're on a budget, but you want something that's going to challenge you and put you to work. And there it is.
Cool. Well, we got one final game to talk about tonight that is called Super Animal Royale, developed by Pixile Studios, published by Modus Games, released June 1st on Xbox Game Preview as a free-to-play game. There are also various Founders Packs and Starters Packs that are available from $4.99 to $14.99. Game Pass has a free $9.99 value starter pack that you can pick up, and SAW tickets are available ranging from $10 to $40. Super Animal Royale is a 64-player frenetic top-down 2D battle royale where murderous animals fight tooth, claw, and machine gun across abandoned safari park. Collect and customize your favorite critters and weapons, then put them to work in solo matches or team up as a squad of up to 4 players. Our friend Serlina wrote in another review this week. She's got 2 this week. Isn't that cool?
She's on a roll. She's vying for that new co-host role.
Yeah, it's going to be her and Aki fighting for it. But this is what she's got to say. Greetings, SML lovelies. It is I, Serlina, and I return with a review for Super Animal Royale for the Xbox One, developed by Pixile Games and published by Modus Games. Super Animal Royale is an adorable 2D battle royale where you will attempt to rip your opponents to shreds with tooth, fang, nail, and machine gun if you can find one. Let's get on to the review. Super Animal Royale is probably the cutest battle royale on the market thus far. You've got your doggos, kitties, tigers, foxes, and other animals that you can choose as your avatar of destruction. Music is pretty carnival cute and really does feel like you're at one giant amusement park. As is the norm with these sorts of games, there's a lot of customization to make your animal look the way you want them to look. The cosmetics range from clothes, weapons, shades, umbrellas, the works. Don't let the cuteness fool you, though, as there's a competent game here. The gameplay is pretty standard for battle royales. Be the one left standing or the only duo or squad, as these modes exist right out of the gate. I have no friends. I played solo, but I didn't mind that so much. Queue times are pretty nice, and I didn't have to wait that long to find myself in a match. Here's where the game differs from other battle royales out there. There's a bit of a tutorial available when you jump out of the battle eagle, so that's nice. Also, this battle royale is in third person, which I love. Not that I hate being first person shooters, it can get disorienting for me. I like the fact that I can see my character barreling into a battle. You can also roll here, and if you time your rolls correctly, you get a speed boost. You collect tape to repair your armor, you collect health juice to get your health back. One thing I didn't care for is that no one tells you how to use those items. That annoyed me too. I knew I would collect the health juice, I just didn't know how to use it. That annoyed me. So again,
Actually happens a lot in battle royale games. They're really bad for not describing how to use things. There's not much in tutorials.
Like, they just need to be like, hey, this button does this. Hey, yeah. We noticed that your health is low. Why don't you try hitting Y and holding it down? Hey, look, your health is restoring. Isn't that cool? Remember that for the future.
It would be nice if there was, like, a toggle, a hint toggle for first-time players.
Yeah, but she says, again, we're in the what does this button do portion of a game. Luckily, I managed to figure it out. The game supports up to 64 players as you attempt to kill them with a variety of weaponry. Most of it is standard pistols, guns, SMGs, magnums, things of that nature. A few special ones that caught my eye was a bow and arrow and a poison dart gun. Fun times when I got hit with that and I couldn't figure out how to heal. There's also a few movement aids. You can ride an emu or roll in a hamster ball. I'm not kidding, those are actual mechanics in the game, and if you jump in a hamster ball, you can roll motherfuckers over and get easy kills. I love it.
I might be sold now.
Granted, the hamster ball only takes a few bullets, but if you're at the beginning of the game and you're just stumbling into people who don't have weapons yet, you can roll them over, get some easy... There's an achievement for 50 hamster ball kills. So, they know what's up. Yeah. Graphic-wise, it's okay. It won't knock your socks off, but it's consistent at least. It did have a couple of issues, and those are typical in the Battle Royale world. One is the fact that you can die really quickly without doing much, but such is life in this game type. Yeah. I had a few games where I landed and died.
Oof.
Yeah.
I still have Battle Royale games where I die and land. And I say die and land because I have died in the air before I land.
Yeah. That's impressive.
Yeah.
That is really impressive. Her other gripe is that the aiming, it's not that great. When you equip different guns, it shows you the range of that gun, which is cool. The aiming of said guns isn't just in your typical field of vision. Because you're in third person here, you can do a 360-degree aim, which takes some getting used to. I also found with my controller, the aiming is quite sensitive, and one little push will send your reticle flying. It's something I think you could get used to as you play, but it's just different. Super Animal Royale is available on Xbox Game Preview, and should you buy it? Well, guess what, lovelies? The game is free, and it's fun. It also seems that the devs have absolutely no tolerance for all the other crap that's infected other battle royales, like hate and racism, which I fully support. So go download it and try it out. There's a slight learning curve, but I still had a ton of fun with this game. Hopefully, I can play with friends once I make them, that is. I told her to play with me. I understand she doesn't want to play with friends before she does a review that the friends don't impact the review.
Because that can happen.
Yeah. I can understand wanting to do it solo, but I got my first win in a squad, so.
Congrats.
I got my first kill in a hamster ball.
49 to go.
I honestly think you would like Super Animal Royale. Me and you have to play it. This is definitely something I think you would grow attached to.
The review helped sway me.
And it's free.
It is free.
It is
free. And there's $10 upgrade thingy on a Game Pass perk.
Yeah. There's also a $15 package. Then there's a $5 like season zero package. I ended up getting all of them.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I'm a consumer whore. other things that are free are this show, which is over.
We're free.
In the span of the time it took to record this, another little news bit hit where a rumor leaked online of a YouTube video that supposedly claims Back for Blood is going to be a Game Pass title. Did you see that?
I did because you sent it to me. I would be so happy because then nobody has any excuse to tell me they don't want to play it with me.
Yeah, that would be pretty awesome. But I'm sure that's something we're going to be talking about on our next episode. Our next episode is going to be our E3 spectacular. We are going to have the full PartyCast crew on deck talking about Microsoft, Bethesda, Square Enix, Nintendo, everybody else. We're going to cover it all, and we're going to have Tim Purnell and Chris around to do it. It's going to be a fun one.
I can't wait to fill out my Wholesome Games show wish list. I'm just going to like send you the URL to Wholesome Games and be like, all these.
I want.
We need them all.
Want.
Which is funny because I'm very rarely the one to be like, hi, I want this game.
I know. You're like, just whatever. Okay, yeah, sure, I'll play it. Yeah, I'll play it. Yeah, I'll do it. Okay, sure. No, I don't want that one. Yeah, I'll take that one. But you're never like, this, give, now.
Yeah. I've been very this, give, now lately because of all the good announcements.
Well, I'll try. But, do you have any final words to end the show?
Enjoy E3 week, bitches.